starting a brand new series. We're going to base it off the first five verses of Psalm 103. In fact, what I'd like for you to do is read it out loud. You might download the app download our app and go to App Store, whatever, and go find it. Psalm 103. Why don't you read it out loud with me? Come on, join me. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This is the word of God for you. Amen. He has benefits, forget not. Yes. High five your neighbor and say, I will never be the same after today. Tell them again, amen, I will never be the same after today. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So I'm looking at these benefits, and I thought, you know, Lord, there are things you want your believers to know they have. But, you know, I came to the position, into the place that, you know, maybe you already know them, but you've just forgotten them. Because I think most of us have been in church a lot, and we say, yeah, I know that. But it's not actively happening and occurring inside of your life. And then I thought, before I get into these blessings, the benefits of God, I thought, why is it that when I'm encountering something, whether it's a financial issue or Satan tries to bring up in my mind something of the past, or maybe even something that you're going through right now, a sin in your life, and you're just going, you know, I know this, but why am I still feeling guilty? Why am I still condemning myself? Why do I put more confidence in my treatment than I do in God? Not that you don't have the treatment, but just as much faith you have in the treatment, why don't you have that much faith in God? Put those two together, you've got an unbeatable combination of miracles and healings in your life. But why is it not? And then it dawned on me. When the psalmist wrote this, he starts it off with, praise the Lord, O my soul. And it dawned on me. The reasons why you have forgotten the perks of God is because you have forgotten to praise God. The reason why you don't enjoy the benefits of God is you have never blessed God. The reason why that you no longer see the rewards of God and you're going, if God's so good, then why are my bills not paid? If God's so good, then why am I struggling with this health? If God's so good, then why am I feeling? If God's so good, then why? And we start doing that as believers. And I'm going to tell you what it's directly related to. The reason you've lost the sight of the rewards of God is I bet you've stopped rejoicing in God. Because the more I praise him, the more I encounter the perks of God. The more I bless him, the more I get excited over the benefits of God when I'm in the midst of the deepest crisis of my life. So friends, if you want the benefits of God, how many know we ought to just take off blessing God? How many know, even when you don't see him, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he's working. He's never stopped working. How many believe we ought to start praising God for the perks and the benefits that he's already given us? Amen. We ought to just give him praise. So before we get into the benefits, I'm going to talk to you about what the psalmist talked to you about. That you will begin, before you ask him for anything, you will start praising him like you've never praised him. So here's what I want to give you. First of all, I want to talk about great praise. What's great praise? Oh, my goodness. I started looking at this. Psalm 103, verse 1. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise him, O my soul. Praise him with everything you have in you. And I've come to the the conclusion that many believers think that praise and worship is what we did just the last 20 minutes ago, and that's the whole context of praise and worship. But I'm telling you, you got to understand that to have great praise, you got to have a variety of praise. How many thank God he's not boring? There's a variety of praise. Variety of praise. Let me, Psalm 101. Let me take you to this and break it down for you a little bit. When the psalmist wrote this in Psalm 101, just a couple chapters ahead of Psalm 103. And I want you to show you the ways that he showed that you could praise God, the variety of praise. Here's how he starts. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout. Now, when you see that in the Hebrew word there is R-U-W-A, it's ruah, which literally means, you want to know what kind of shout this was? It meant to shout and split the ears. Now, I know some of us, you know, I know there's a place, because I'll show you, there's a place to kumbaya. But I'm telling you, there is a variety of worship you ought to experience where you just split the ears of Satan with your praise and your shout in the middle of your crisis that splits his ears. He cannot stand it. How many know everything the devil hates, we love? How many know he has hated you singing? He's hated you worshiping? So everything he hates, we love. I think we ought to give God a shout of praise. Just give him a ruah praise. Amen? A ruah praise. Watch this. Then you think, well, that's the only way to praise him. Go to verse 2. The Hebrew, see, when you read it in the English, you don't see it, but it's there. There's a variety of praise. He says, worship the Lord with gladness. That word of worship there is A-B-A-D. It looks like abad, but it's ravad, ravad. And it literally means to serve or to be a servant. That means that you don't just worship God with your singing. You worship God when you are serving people. When you are serving people that are unbelievers, not just at a conference, but you are serving children. Do you understand? And he says, you can serve him with gladness. That means you ought to go to your job with worship of joy on your face. Instead of acting like it's a grind, you ought to start giving God glory in the middle of that job and serve with gladness. When you got to change that diaper for the 15th time that day, why don't you do like our nursery workers do when they change your child's diaper? They start speaking and commanding a blessing and call your child's name out, and they speak and prophesy blessing on your child and health on your child and protection on your child. You do it with gladness. See, some of you aren't even serving in the house of God. Some of you aren't even doing anything. You're not doing nothing. He says your worship in serving is actually praising God. And to do it, oh, I better go sign up. No, we don't need you. You got to sign up. No, we want you to say, God, this is an act of worship unto you. He says, come before him with joyful songs. We don't want you coming singing like you've been baptized in formaldehyde. Come with a joyful song. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, that word, you think thanksgiving, oh yeah, the turkey and all that stuff. No, the word thanksgiving in the Hebrew there is the word todah, T-O-W-D-A-H. You can write that in here. It means choirs of worshipers. Do you know that the choir is not somebody that just gets up there and stands and sings? Do you realize that when we come in corporate worship, sir, we don't care if you're off key or on key. We don't care if the only time you're on beat is when you cross it. Do you understand that when we sing, we are the choir of worshipers, literally moving the heart of God while we are singing? It's todah. Look at this. So it means choir worship. And this says, and his courts with praise. You think, oh, that's just praise. No, the word there, praise, is the word tehillah. Tehillah. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. Tehillah. You want to try to remember how to say it, just think of tequila. Tequila. Some of you lit up just a moment ago. Literally lit up. It's about the same effect, but without the hangover. Come on. He says, start singing praises with tehillah praise. It's the songs of tehillah praise with joyful songs and give thanks. Some of you think, what's give thanks again? No, the word thanks there. Watch the variety. Watch the variety. See, if you're going to read in English, you don't get it. But when the psalmist wrote this, he says, and then praise him, give thanks to him. It's the word yada, Y-A-D-A-H, yada. It literally means to, some of you wonder, why do they lift their hands in here? And you're new here. Because that's called tada worship. It means to extend your hands as a sign of intimate worship between you and God. Let me show you something. This is not a sign of worship. See, if you don't praise him, you'll never experience the benefits of God. It literally means there to extend your hands to him, and then it says, and praise him. Well, you think that's another type of praise? What's the variety of praise? Great praise has variety, folks. It's the word barak, B-A-R-A-K, B-A-R-A-K. It literally means to get on bended knees in quiet adoration before God. So here's what he's saying. We all want to put God in a box. Well, I'm going to go to a quiet church. Got candles. Everybody's that's worship. But if you're expressing only that one act of worship, you're losing the variety of what God can do in your life. Some of you want to go to a church that all we do is shout all day long. You want to buck and snork, shuck and jive, start throwing songbooks and hit I'll Fly Away at 90 miles an hour till Sister Beulah gets the hibby-jibbies, jump five pews till the preacher hyperventilates, and then you think, boy, that's a move of God. And you can't stand any quiet person around you. Some of you don't think that your job is worship. Some of you don't think your schoolwork is worship, but you're doing sloppy work and you're doing short work. And God's saying, if you would just worship me in every vein that I have, the variety of worship, I will begin to show you my benefits and pour them out to you. Come on, everybody. Why don't we give God some of the greatest praise we could ever give him in this house today? Amen. Woo. This is the reason why we're a church that loves to praise. We love praise. Some people just want to put God in this one little type of worship. No. How many are glad that all the restaurants in Grand Rapids are not Taco Bell? Build the Pepto-Bismol plant right here, would you please? How many are glad that all the restaurants are not Chinese food? Don't you dare raise your hand. I tell you, you support my people. Come on, my people need you. Are you seeing this? Just as we are so intolerant when it comes to our physical food, we become so intolerant when God wants to use something that will bring his benefit, but you have not learned how to praise his holy name. You are too busy praising the vessel in which it came because you're a superstar seeker instead of a savior seeker. Okay, I'm going to go back old school. Y'all be ready to go old school. Okay, let me give you a little suggestion. Before you come to the 11 o'clock service, have a couple cups of coffee before you come back, okay? I need you to interact a little bit. Okay, get your cup of coffee before you come back. Go to McDonald's, get your burger, and come on back, okay? Sabbatical has been very good to me, let me tell you. How many remember dinner on the grounds? How many remember dinner on the grounds at churches? How many remember where people bought potluck? Potluck on the grounds. How many remember those, okay? The rest of you, oh, you're not missing a thing. God help us. We no longer have them because our insurance isn't good enough to cover the people that got sick. But let me just say something. What if we had dinner here and there's this plate of fried chicken, and it looks, I mean, it's perfect. And Dad, you walk by, you pass the chicken by. You love chicken, but you're gonna pass it by. And your son reaches out to grab it, and you say, put that piece of chicken down now. What is it, Dad? You're a man of God. Do you discern food poisoning? No. Well, what is it, Dad? Do you see the dish, son? Yes, Father, that dish is a rectangle, and your mother and I do not eat out of rectangle dishes. We love chicken, but we hate rectangles. I'm going to get ready to show you the behavior in the body of Christ and why people are not experiencing benefits. I'm getting ready to show you. Get ready to show you. He walks by a perfectly square dish. There's a green bean casserole there. And you know, you love green bean casserole. So does your son. Your son reaches out to get the green bean casserole. Don't you dare touch that either, son. We will not attend a square church. It looks too much like the rectangle. We only eat out of ovals. We love chicken, and we love green bean casserole, but we hate rectangles, and squares are too close to rectangles. We only eat out of ovals. We have created in the body of Christ the most immature individuals, because what God chose to serve a move of God in, or moved on a person in a particular vessel or style or rhythm of song, then that's what God moved in, so that's what he's on is going to feed me in. But this time, God is not using the oval dish. He's still the chicken, and he's still the green bean casserole. Am I making you hungry, or are you not getting this? He's still the same thing, but you don't want to get into it because you don't like the vessel. Well, they don't have ripped jeans. Well, they are wearing a suit. Well, they're not wearing a suit. Well, they're not in 4-4 time. Well, that's not Bill Gaither. Well, that's not Hillsong. Well, that's not Mosaic. Well, that's not that. And so we decide we're going to fold our arms and choose not to bless. Therefore, we don't get the benefits. And we're going to start aligning our little group up along with it. But here's what God has called true mature believers to do, whether it's preaching. Maybe some of you say, well, I don't like a preacher because he's too loud. Well, I like a preacher that's real quiet. Well, I like a preacher that's quiet. I don't like one loud. I like one that's, he's too loud. He's too quiet. I mean, I'm going, you're schizophrenic. You're freaking me out here. And the reason why they do not receive a true mature believer, you know what they do? They're not looking for rectangles or square. They're looking for chicken and green bean casserole. And what your job is to do, no matter what vessel God chooses, a man or a woman, a teenager, black, white, Hispanic, yellow, what you're supposed to do, what you are supposed to do, my friends, is just take the lid. Your responsibility is to take the lid off the cover. God's not going to take the bottle cap off. God's not going to take it. You take off the lid, then you get your spiritual fork in, and you start digging through the content. And if the content of the green bean casserole and the chicken lines up with the word of God, if it's Jesus Christ, him crucified, his word, then you stick your fork in and you taste and see that the Lord is good, no matter what the style, no matter what it is, because there's a blessing and a reward in your rejoicing. Oh, come on, somebody ought to just give God some crazy praise today. Christians, grow up. We got the old people church here. We got the young people church here. God's a God of variety. You don't believe it. Look at this group that you're sitting around. Look at us. Look at us. We got teenagers sitting here. We got senior citizens with oxygen tanks back there. We got ripped up jeans, we got tennis shoes, we got suits, we got it all. But you know, we're not picking on the vessel. We got black, we got white, we got Asian, we got Hispanic. I don't know, UFOs may start landing. But we're here for one thing. We're here to dig into Jesus, grow like Jesus, and be his image bearers to all the world and the people around us. Come on, start praising him. If you want the rewards of God, quit picking on everything and dig in and taste and see. Quit looking at the vessel and start looking. Oh! Elder, high five me. I'm going to have to get this done. It's not just the variety of praise. Great praise has the vitality of praise. Look at Psalm 102. He goes on, he says, now worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Some of you may wonder if you should get emotional when you worship. Now, I get it. I know I'm treading on territory. You're going to open up a damn Pandora's box. We're going to have the most freaky, weird people come do crazy stuff, Pastor. You let us handle that. We're big boys, we're leaders, we take care of it. We'll help someone mature and grow in the Lord. We will. We're not afraid. I get it. I want the glory of God. And I understand light draws bugs. Some Christians fear people getting fanatical. You let us take care of that. You let the small group leaders handle that maturity. You let the elders handle this kind of stuff. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's a lot easier to cool down a fanatic than it is to warm up a corpse. Some churches wonder why. I mean, there are people just ready to go. Let me tell you, the dynamic here is you can't get benefits and understand the benefits till you begin to praise him for who he is. Then you start enjoying, start realizing he's a God that gives me benefits. And the vitality of worship comes out. With gladness and joy, you start praising. With gladness and joy, you start serving. With gladness and joy, you become a husband, you become a wife. With gladness and joy, you become a son and a daughter. With gladness and joy, you begin to worship God in everything. It should be vitality where everybody can see your love for him. Gladness and joy. If you act like you're going to be baptized in formaldehyde, don't be leading around here. So one day, I was walking across the bridge with Brenda, the little glass bridge over here. How many know that glass bridge? Well, sometimes I forget that it's glass. And I don't know if people can watch me and see me. So we were walking across the bridge, and I totally forgot that all the students were in session in class. So Brenda was with me. Just the two of us. And I wasn't thinking. Thought it was just her and me, and I forgot class was in session. I reached around my arm to Brenda. Little did I realize all the students were up against the windows like this. I had no idea. But I received the greatest compliment from a student. The greatest compliment. And they were getting ready to say, I saw you and Pastor Brenda. I was just hoping, God, what did I do back there on that bridge? Did it glorify you? Brenda was very happy. I just got to tell you, she was happy. So, this is the greatest compliment I can ever receive. They said, I love how you treat Brenda, a student. He said, we saw y'all walking across the bridge, and I watched how you treat. I'm just thinking, oh, God, please, let it be good. I hope I didn't do something. You know. But they said, how you held her, how you took her across that bridge. The greatest compliment I receive is how I treat her. Greatest compliment. You want the greatest compliment you receive, ma'am, is how you treat your husband. Greatest compliment is how you treat your wife. It's a greatest compliment. Not what the church is running, what the attendance, what we're doing for missions, how I treat her. Greatest compliment I ever receive. But here's what I discovered. What if I'd have not touched her? What if I'd not reached out my arm? But what if I just stood there and thought happy thoughts about her? No, I'm going to say a word. But in my mind, I'm thinking, ooh, I love you. I can feel your heat radiating my way. Okay? That's beautiful. But I'm going to tell you, those kids would have never seen the witness, because praise is not praise until you start making it visual and vocal. It is not. Whether you sign it or you speak it. Because those kids and my kids will never know how much I love her when it gets out of my head and out of my heart and I start using these arms. And I appreciate and understand your personality. I get it. Some of you may be new to this body, and I get the way you might have been raised in church, and that's cool, and there's lots of acts of worship. But I'm telling you, if you want great praise, if you want praise where you understand his benefits and his blessings, your praise does not become praise until it becomes visual and vocal. And you start taking what's in your head, sir, and say, I don't care what another man thinks. I'm going to take these arms. I'm going to hug my wife. And I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to praise my God. I'm going to say words and praise him. I'm going to sing off key, on key. I'm going to bless his name. Come on. How many know there's not just variety. There's vitality in your praise. We need a little emotion in the house of God. We need a little excitement inside of our worship so the whole world will know. All right, I'm coming in for a landing, okay? Here's my last one. When you do that, there's victory in your praise. This is why I believe Satan stops most of us from worshiping God. He's got you ticked off at somebody in your small group right now, so you're not worshiping, mad at your... He does this. Let me tell you why he does this. I believe Satan stops more worship in churches because he knows the moment that God's people start understanding great praise, the vitality of it, the variety of it, that there starts to be victory in the very act of worship that could have never been accomplished in other things that you do in our religious practices. This is the reason why I believe the first murder happened in a church service. If you'd read your Bible, you'd know it happened. The first murder happened in a church service. And you know what the murder was over? Praise and worship. Because Cain killed Abel because Abel's worship was accepted by God and his was not. Satan always knows what gets God's attention is that variety of knowing the variety of God, the vitality of worshiping God. And then when we start praising God, friends, let me tell you what begins to happen. Your worship is a weapon against the power of darkness. Your worship is a weapon. Come on, say it with me. Your worship is a weapon. Say it again. Your worship is a weapon. Your worship is a weapon. Just write it down. Psalm 149, verse 6. May the praise of God be in your mouth and a double-edged sword. In your hands, the praise of God in your mouth, the double-edged sword. It's the worship and the word. The worship and the word. And there's nothing greater to worship than worship and using God's word to worship. Come on, go to Psalm 8:2. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies. To do what? To silence the foe and the avenger. God is saying he doesn't need a seasoned musician up here to destroy Satan. He doesn't need a theologian with a degree or a doctorate to destroy the powers of darkness. He doesn't need a seasoned believer that's been around it so much they don't even need to take notes anymore on sermons because they're too brilliant for everybody. He says, what I can use is I'll drag a little one out of that little nursery. This is the reason why you need to teach your kids how to praise younger and younger and younger, to lift their hands to say, praise the Lord. And they do it by watching you, mom and dad. Just start praising God, because God says, what I'll do is I'll take a little infant. And when they start praising God, I will silence the voice of Satan. I will come against the enemy just out of a child who knows how to praise him. Well, come on, folks. We're not little bitty kids. How many know we know how to praise God with all our might, our soul, our strength? And the weapon of God begins to move. Just look through the scripture. Jehoshaphat and Judah, praise God, destroy the enemy. Paul and Silas are locked in jail. They start singing and the chains come off. Just look what he tells in Isaiah. He says, sing, O barren woman. He says to a woman who can't have children, start singing, because you're going to have more children than the woman that has children now. Start singing even while you're barren, because God starts birthing things in your praise. Are you seeing this, friends? This is the reason why he told Joshua and Israel, go ahead and march around these walls of Jericho and keep marching. When you're done, start shouting, clapping, and start singing. And guess what? The walls came down. How many walls, how many prisons, how many wombs will open up? Miracles happen when we start praising God. The benefits become real to us. Come on, can we not forget the blessings of God? We forget God's benefits when we start focusing on the crisis and not Christ. Here's how I want to conclude our service today. This is about forgetting not. He says, forget not the benefits. But you and I get so caught up in things where we get our focus off of Jesus and we lose our worship. And so we forget the benefits as if they didn't exist. So today, there's something Jesus told us to do, admonished through Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23. He said, for I received from the Lord that what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this, come on church, say the next few words, in of me. Why? Because you're going to forget if you don't do it. You're going to forget that he died on the cross for you and forgave you of your sins. You're going to forget that he redeemed you. You're going to forget that he healed you. You're going to forget that he takes you out of the pit and he puts a crown on your head. You're going to forget. And I know no greater way to end this service this morning than take communion together and say, Lord, we're not going to forget what you did on the cross that we could have the blessings of God. How many thank Jesus for what he did on the cross? We're never going to forget. Come on, we're never going to forget. Never going to forget.